Hey, y'all, welcome to Cross Politic. Thank you for joining us. Of course, Waterboy, Pastor Toby.
No Knox.
We are without Knox, but we are here at Liberty University with Ryan Helfenbein.
Let's go with that version.
Let's try that one. before we went live here,
he gave us like four versions of it before. It was like, was it Heffalump?
Heffalump
was one of them.
One of them.
That was the in-law name for him.
Helfenbein.
But Ryan is the executive director of the Falkirk Center here at Liberty University.
And tell us a little bit about yourself first before we jump into that.
Where
are you from?
Originally from, I'd say Dallas, Texas.
Promised land.
Yeah.
I was born in Denison,
Texas.
You were born in Denison?
And then lived in Dallas.
Dallas.
I went to a Lakewood Presbyterian High School on Gaston Avenue.
I know exactly where it is.
What school did you go to?
So I actually went to First Baptist Academy.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
Not too far down
when
from
did
there.
You graduate?
So I graduated in 02. Yep.
Yeah, so you were younger than me, but I had a bunch of friends that went to First Baptist.
That's big in that area. Yeah. Absolutely. Awesome.
And then where do you go from there, from First Baptist?
So from after high school, mm-hmm. I went to the University of Texas in Austin.
Hook 'em.
Hook 'em horns. We had Vince Young was our quarterback.
Yeah.
You probably heard about that Rose Bowl.
Oh yeah.
I even heard about that. Yeah. Anything about football, but
he was in Alaska at the time or something.
Just an awesome time to be in Austin, both at UT Austin, and then I was involved in church life, campus life there as well.
Okay. And then what brought you to Liberty?
So I had a short stint in, I'm kidding, it was a decade long, but it was in Kentucky. Okay. I went up there for seminary.
Okay.
Southern Seminary.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And so had a great time. MDiv student, started the PhD. I had the opportunity to work alongside of Dr. Albert Mohler. And back when he had a Salem radio show.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So it was one of those lowly interns, go get the coffee, carry the bags, that kind of
like
thing.
Like Neil.
Hey, it's worth it. It's worth it. Great resume builder.
Someday you're going to be the executive director of something.
There you go. And so it really cut my teeth. And what was interesting about that is that it really taught me not only about, think about the world of theology as a student. So you're learning all the basics, the ABCs, church history. Mm-hmm. Systematic theology, but really how to connect that with a coherent Christian worldview.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about the news of the day,
is important.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And so there's a lot of incoherence. There's a lot of babble going on.
Where you have theology happening in the confines of a church building or a Bible study,
right.
And then you walk out the front door, you pick up a newspaper, or you're scrolling through Twitter, and it's completely bifurcated,
right?
And that's why it's incoherent,
right? And in many ways, I think the disconnect has been that it's eschatological only. People think in terms of
Heaven and hell only,
right? Heaven and hell only, or every 5 seconds, it's Jesus is going to return because this news headline.
So
what's
you must
happening.
Be post mill Presbyterian. I'm getting that vibe from you.
I would say
Southern failed you.
But I will say, and I have appreciation for these categories, but I would just say I either am historic pre-mill, historic pre-mill, or I sometimes vacillate between that and all-mill. I think there's, Tom Schreiner had a great article about this.
If you could be optimistic all-mill, and we'll consider you
honorary
doctor. Because Jesus is king.
Jesus is king.
Which means you're post-mill. I mean, no matter how you categorize it, you're post-mill.
Right? So Falkirk.
Yes.
You are the executive director of Falkirk. Now, what's the name about? Falkirk.
That's the Scottish Braveheart thing.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Real quick, 30,000 feet here, but In terms of the naming, everybody knows the movie Braveheart, mm-hmm. and so that actually is one of that's a favorite movie of President Falwell,
yeah.
and many of us.
The Battle of Falkirk.
The Battle of Falkirk.
Yeah.
When you think about that, that was a moment historically when the Scots actually lost. But it what happened is it turned helped to turn the tide of the war.
Okay.
Total
post
mill. Total post mill.
You're gonna get me in trouble.
We're on We're on to you, Dr. Falwell.
You're Presbyterian.
So basically, it was a significant moment in history. And of course, I mean, you think about the naming of both Jerry Falwell and Charlie Kirk, and those kind of come together.
So I had no idea. I'd forgotten that about the Braveheart. I just thought, oh, that's cute. Who came up with the name?
Our senior vice president, Scott Lamb, who has been instrumental in a lot of this, kind of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And so he's been pulling a lot of this stuff together. Yeah. And so he's an author, a biographer as well.
Yeah. So he's got history in his brain.
He does. Totally.
That's really? Actually, my level just went up.
Yeah. Respect level. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. But,
nice.
But Christians shouldn't be applying their faith to the public square. So why do we start Falkirk?
Oh, man.
You know?
I think that's
what you're doing.
Yeah,
is, you know.
Totally. Totally.
Separation of church and state.
Right. And so, right. So we've...
He says with cross politic on
the
shirt.
Yeah, cross the flag bound down the cross. Yeah.
The politique, you know?
He's confused.
So I think one of the things that... you know, we're correcting a lot of misunderstanding is that people are focused on, there's a, a part of Christianity that thinks it's evangelism only.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're thinking of, I'm thinking of Christendom in a big tent sort of way, mm-hmm. broader sort of way, broader evangelical.
Mm-hmm.
The President Trump back in December was saying some estimated 25 million evangelicals in the United States who are not registered to vote.
Yep.
And that's actually, in many ways, an indictment on the church.
Yeah.
If you think about the state of California in the more recent elections, I think it's something like a less than 20% of evangelicals vote in the state of California.
Really?
And so you do actually have a large church gathering population, but you've got a significant amount that are not.
Yeah.
We talked to our buddy Joseph Backholm, which we've been bringing up like
crazy
every 5 minutes, basically.
It hurts my soul.
He ran, it was a Christian activist group.
A family policy alliance, basically, in the state of Washington.
State of Washington, which is, careening hard left. Mm-hmm. We're right on the border in Idaho. You go west out of town and you're in the state of Washington.
7 miles
right.
west.
Totally.
Moscow, Idaho. Mm-hmm. So we're impacted heavily by the politics in Washington. But he pointed out to us, he was there for like 10 years, 12 years, working with churches.
In Seattle.
Particularly in Seattle. And he said he could not get white evangelicals to give him the time of day.
Right.
He would contact them and they'd say, we're not into politics.
Right.
It was interesting. It was actually ethnic immigrant evangelicals he could get to care.
Yes.
They would invite him in and
totally.
He would give
because
talks.
They came from these socialist communistic countries where
100%.
They couldn't vote.
Yep.
They don't have any bifurcation. They don't have any disconnect between politics and their Christianity.
Yeah, see the real world application.
And they've been crushed by
the
absence of Christianity politics.
Absolutely.
So that lines up with what you're saying though.
Right.
About evangelicals in general, California.
Well, and then he went on to say in Seattle, so Seattle is the dominating voter bloc for all of Washington. What happens in Seattle goes to the rest of the state, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said if evangelicals would show up, if 80% of evangelicals in the churches would show up and vote, they would control Seattle politics.
Yeah. Right.
And that's in a liberal, city that controls the whole state.
Yeah.
I mean, it's maddening.
And you wonder the same thing then about California.
You said 20% or less than 20%?
Sorry, less than 20%. It's an estimated number, but that's
dismal. My instinct is to think California is the Titanic.
It's done.
It's the Titanic. It's going down.
Right.
Get off.
Right.
Move your business, move your family.
Yeah. Right.
But when you hear numbers like that, you think...
There's still a chance.
Well, do we know that?
Right.
I mean, and...
Yep.
So I wanted to talk to you a little bit. I just picked up a newspaper.
Can I interject one thing
right
here? So when I came from Kentucky, I actually worked for Governor Matt Bevin.
Okay. Oh,
communications.
Yeah. We love Matt.
And we do too. And I do too. And when you look at that election, as goes Louisville, right. so goes the rest of the state. He lost by a margin of less than
5,000 votes.
Yes, but, it was very, very small. Wow. And when you think about the significance of, you know, who was in on helping him, boosting him, churches often, there are a lot of churches who do, but there are even more that are not represented and are not showing up.
Was Russell Moore against him?
I don't know. probably supported.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not only. I mean, a lot of times what you have though is a real like pickiness, like a sort of perfectionism, a purism.
Yeah.
In addition to the apathy. So on the one hand, you have some that say that it doesn't matter, but on the other hand, you get a lot of times people say, well, you know, I'm not going to get enthusiastic. I'm not going to put a yard sign up. I'm not going to share something.
Yeah.
Unless he's, you know, completely everything I want, you know.
Right. Presbyterian, baptizes babies, you know.
Checks all the boxes.
All the boxes.
You know,
right.
And then it's like, well, what are you left with? Well, you know, there's no perfect candidate.
They want an evangelical Ken doll, you know. And this idea
They want a Saul.
The evangelical version of a Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Right? Sure. Uh-huh. Who will never say anything.
Squeaky clean.
Squeaky
and,
clean.
And above all else.
Nice.
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 Very
nice. Oh, yeah. 11th commandment.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Yes.
Back, as I was walking in here, I picked up a newspaper.
Yes.
The Liberty. Was it
Champion?
Like, Champion.
Yes,
okay.
That's our student newspaper.
Okay, all right. So
Hook 'em Horns.
It was right there as I walked in. So I pulled up the front page. Came out on Tuesday. Is a story on the Falkirk. Is it Institute or Center?
Falkirk Center.
Center. Okay.
For faith. And Liberty.
All right. There we go.
So we're binary.
Yeah. And you are quoted throughout the story on. Particularly focusing on the centrality of the gospel,
and
applying the Bible to politics.
Mm-hmm.
So, are there any? I know it's just getting off the ground. I know you know there was a number of is it fellows? Is that what you're calling them?
Yes, influencers.
Yeah, but influencers.
They're influencers, but they are called fellows.
You think
about a traditional think tank,
right.
yeah.
where they write about a bunch of white papers, and they've got research fellows,
right.
and they're operating under grants,
to the
tune of millions of dollars.
Right. Yep.
These guys are out there in the public sphere, influencing culture.
They're already doing work in the public square.
That's it. Yeah.
And you've just identified several of them.
Yes.
And said, would you be a fellow of our center?
That's right.
And will they be meeting periodically to discuss things?
We meet quite regularly.
Okay.
Yes,
all right.
Quite regularly. So, but they were just here on campus last week.
That's what I saw.
Yeah, so, okay. yeah, so they, yeah. they were here on campus, and just, we had a town hall light. We had an introduction at our convo, which is a major gathering, 10,000 students that are there on Wednesday.
Okay.
And then on Thursday, we had a town hall light, and that whole thing was to discuss, I called them bucket items, first principles.
Yes, right.
How we approach understanding the Imago Dei, you know, freedom of speech, right to bear arms.
Okay.
A little bit of voting, all of that. Some market principles, free market economy.
Yeah. I saw actually in on the lower half of the mast of the newspaper that the motion to make Lynchburg a sanctuary city for Second Amendment rights failed.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a little embarrassed?
No, I'm not embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed. No, but I just say, we're working hard on that front to keep freedom.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, real quick. Nuts and bolts of Falkirk.
No,
what are you guys trying to produce?
Right. Hold on.
Are you going there? You want me to hold on there?
No, we're going to take a break.
Oh.
Watch me be Knox. Knox, you're proud of me. I know you're proud of me right now. Okay. We're going to come back, and then you can ask your question.
Okay.
But first, we need to have a quick commercial break. We're here in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Yes.
Talking with Ryan Helfenbein.
Yeah, you got it.
Boom.
Perfect.
Nailed it. Hey, y'all, welcome back to Cross Politic on the Fight Laugh Feast Network?
That's usually my part.
I know.
I feel a little
I know. I'm taking Toby. So Toby's taking David's. I'm taking Toby's.
And Ryan is taking Knox.
Yeah, Ryan's Knox. There we go.
Are you ready to say baptize your babies at the end?
Probably not. No.
he'll close this out with baptize your babies.
You're single, get married, if you're married, have kids, and dedicate those babies.
Yeah. Like dry baptism.
The old Bob Barker, don't forget to get your pets spayed.
It's like that. Baptized. Anyway. This show is brought to you by Samaritan Ministries. If you guys have not checked them out, please check out our sponsors. You go to SamaritanMinistries.org. /or/CrossPolitic.
I think it's usually forward slash.
It usually probably is.
Yeah, Cross Politic.
But now people remember it because we discussed it.
That's right, yeah.
Make sure you check them out. They've been fantastic with us. We love them. We love what they're doing.
Get out of government healthcare.
Health sharing ministry. So
Christians caring for other Christians.
That's right. So Toby rudely interrupted me when I was going to ask this question because he was trying to be Knox and all this.
We're keeping the time. We're keeping the time.
That's right. So the nuts and bolts of the Falkirk Center. What are you guys trying to produce? Do you have like an internship program, student internship program? Like, what's the end goal of what you guys are trying to do?
So there's various aspects. One is we do want student involvement, and so we do have an ambassador program that we're trying to get started. We already have, but basically it's here on campus and then elsewhere. It's something that we want to reach out to folks that are not here at a Liberty, but they're on a college campus at another, say, Christian university or
even a
UT Austin. Yeah.
You said it.
Yeah, I know. But there are many.
You could have picked any university, but you picked
University of North Carolina.
I think that was a soft toss. Yeah. Just
wanted to see if you'd hit it. we want to get student engagement involved, and then ambassadors also include other folks who are out there who have share a common concern, and these are people who are out in the culture, fighting culture war.
Yeah. So you aren't a typical. White paper think tank kind of thing.
No,
you're actually trying to get boots on the ground.
Absolutely.
And what's the goal of the ambassador? Are they like starting clubs? Are they going to vote for sanctuary cities? I mean, what?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is to amplify. They contribute their voice, and I think part of how we know what's going on is to listen to other people who are sharing concerns and saying, hey, this is something that's going on in my area. This is where I live. This is something that is going on my campus or in my community. I was talking to a mother out in Denver, Colorado, just yesterday, and we were talking about March for Life.
Right.
And just sharing common concerns about what's happening in her community and how she can get involved. And actually, this person is coming on as an ambassador. So it's not just a student focus, but it's somebody who is out there already in the public sphere.
So trying to, you're focusing on college students, and that's the particular connection with Charlie Kirk has been involved with.
Yeah,
with,
younger with, generation. Yeah. And by this, by that, I...
Because Jerry is old.
Yeah. No. Sorry, Jerry. Sorry, Jerry. Hey, you had the excuse game.
I'd say he understands what's happening in the culture war. And there are other people who have declared surrender on that. We have not.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a reason to throw in the towel.
All right. I'm gonna ask an awkward question now. All right.
Okay.
All right, here we go. So one of the way that Liberty, in particular, I think Jerry Falwell, has been pictured in media is primarily as Trump fanboy. And I think
Charlie Kirk too.
Same thing. Yeah. Sort of without principles, just following wherever Trump is going. And you think about some of the critics, conservative critics, sort of the Never Trumper type brand, point at that and just say, look, the picture I keep in the back of my mind, I don't know if I should, but it's the one that comes to me when I think of this is it went around when I think it was maybe when Falwell first endorsed Trump.
Sure.
You got a picture of him shaking president's hand with a Playboy behind him. And so the Never Trumpers say, that's not principle, that's compromise. Mm-hmm.
He purposely wanted the Playboy back there.
I mean, I don't think that at all.
No, I know.
But at the same time, I mean, it still is a picture, and it's kind of an iconic thing.
Yep. Sure.
And, it
lends to that charge.
Yeah, so what is Falkirk doing? So on the one hand, I would say it sounds like a big push is, of course, we want to push back against liberalism, leftism, anti-Christianity, Everywhere in all these campuses.
Yeah.
But what about the other side?
Right.
What is Falkirk doing, thinking to keep principles
sure.
and not become fanboys, you know, in the sense
sure.
of just whatever
right.
whatever Trump comes up with, we're fine with,
right.
Or whatever the next presidential, you know, the Republican nominee, because it's a Republican and it's not a Democrat, we're just partisan.
Right.
How are you all thinking about that?
Oh, yeah. So, okay, so there's a lot in there.
Yeah.
Let me go to the first part.
Yes.
The Trump Tower thing. And I'll be honest, you raise that question. There's something in the back of my mind I kind of forgot about. It was three yeah. some odd years ago.
Right.
I think the biggest thing, and we're continuing to see this, you think about the editorial from Mark Galley.
Right, the Christianity Today.
Christianity Today.
Right, yeah.
There are kind of two basic ideas or assumptions about what Christians are supposed to do in the public sphere.
Okay.
And there's this argument between kind of a moral witness, that we're supposed to be out there and we're checking all these boxes, and so long as they don't embarrass me, I'll stand next to this person. If so long as the person is clean cut, he can be a Mormon, I can stand next to him, I won't be embarrassed by that, even mm-hmm. though there's a huge theological
yep.
chasm.
Right.
But if somehow I'm, by the way, I'm just thankful it's Trump Tower, right? So you think about the context in which somebody is coming into somebody else's office.
Sure.
This is not a moment where we're trying to check off on all the kind of the virtue signaling or kind of the preening that goes on in broader evangelicalism. It's really there is a gospel witness component, which I think has a different aim and purpose than a moral witness.
Okay.
And so I think in the broader sense of what we're trying to do as a center is we're trying to keep the gospel front and center to what we do. And so it is the Falkirk Center for Faith and Liberty, but it leads with faith.
Right.
And we want to make sure that we're principled based on the scriptures, teachings of Jesus Christ, and of course the whole counsel of God,
right.
the whole Bible, but really building foundations of a biblical worldview that can then go into the public sphere, the culture at large, and understanding really the first principles of government.
What's is this like a Daniel in Babylon kind of situation?
Oh, it's very, very close.
Know, Daniel might not call Nebuchadnezzar on every last moral problem. I mean, I assume Nebuchadnezzar had many
harems
concubines,
sure.
you know, as most of the Middle Eastern kings did. And is he calling him on that, or is he giving him sort of more big picture principles of the living God?
Mm.
Is it like that?
I think you draw something close to what we use as an analogy the other day for our students.
Okay.
So Jeremiah 29.
Yep.
Where they are in Babylon, and I'm not talking about the 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you.
Right.
But the earlier part, where there's actually a mandate that's given.
Seeking the good of the city.
Seeking the good of the city,
yeah.
the welfare of the city.
Right.
And so I think what is the great test for evangelicals today is understanding that we don't live in 1988, that things are different now culturally. And so the fastest growing, some people might argue, fastest growing religion could be Islam. Fastest growing religion or ideology is secularism.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have all of these base assumptions now that are built in. And evangelicals have agreed to a lot of them and said, yeah, I totally agree. We shouldn't be involved in politics. We shouldn't
right.
be involved in the public sphere.
Right.
So I think it is a moment of confusion. Where we are in terms of the timeline of the Old Testament, there may not be a perfect analog,
sure. right.
but I think that Babylon is an apt description.
The other example yeah. I would think of it would be like, then you have John the Baptist and Herod,
right.
which is a different kind of historical context.
Sure.
And it feels like in some ways that's what the intramural conservative fight is over.
Oh,
It's like, if we're John the Baptist and Herod,
right.
you know, he's just going right after his moral problems.
Right.
That, you may not
totally.
Have your brother's wife.
Right.
He got his head chopped off for it. Yeah.
Right.
And other people are saying, no, it's more of like a Daniel in Babylon situation. Mm. And so you do your best to have a gospel witness within a pagan empire.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got a question kind of related to this.
Yeah.
So we started Cross Politic 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and you know, with the intention, with the desire to proclaim the Lordship of Christ, specifically in the politics.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you felt this, but I felt going down this path, when you're trying to speak the gospel in the politics, that there's all sorts of opportunities and even tugs to want to compromise because you know you want to you want to make sure you're friends with the moderate right and the hard you know the you know the Trump never Trumpers and the forever Trumpers. You know, it's like you have this desire to try to bring in as many people in as you can.
It's easy to want to be a man pleaser,
exactly, right. Totally. And to compromise.
Sure.
And if that's like the cancer of the church,
right,
and the cancer of I think political Christian movements. How does Falkirk, like, I mean, not compromise on not just the gospel, but the biblical principles for how our government should be structured, limited government, all that stuff. And, I don't know, while trying, I mean, your fellows, they kind of got big tent fellows.
Which
means the tendency to compromise is already at y'all's front door.
Oh, certainly. I think the aim, so this is something that often frustrates me is this, there are organizations out there that are doing similar things. I wouldn't say the same thing, but similar things that are, they're trying to go about ways of doing it. And their aim is often perfection. And my aim is not perfection here. Uh-huh. My aim is to go for a target and try to hit that target as hard as we can. And I think we want to, when you think about people who move the needle in big ways, I think about for evangelicalism, no one can talk about the 20th century without talking about Billy Graham. Mm-hmm. And he had a massive cultural influence. Now, certainly, when you think about local church pastors, they were doing a lot for the kingdom of God, oftentimes unseen. What was seen in the media's eyes was somebody like a Billy Graham. Today, that might be Kanye West and more current. That's probably the biggest news that came out of 2019.
Yeah.
And so they're moving the cultural needle in massive ways. So I think what we're trying to do, we're not aiming for perfection of like, oh, well, is he the leading theologian? Is he the right person? Or is Falkirk Center going to be, you know, have every little item buttoned down?
Certainly.
If we were aiming for that, it would take 10 years to launch this thing, or even longer.
Right.
So what we're actually trying to do is influence a broader swath of culture that's saying, hey, look, I love King Jesus, and I'm concerned about America.
Yeah.
And I kind of was told by these people I shouldn't care about politics, but that doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah.
There's something wrong about that.
Sure.
Because I'm seeing how it's affecting my community, and policy does matter.
Yeah.
So anybody who wants to join in that way, climb on board, because we're with you.
So one of the things that would make me feel more comfortable is if you had some Presbyterians as fellows.
I tell you, we actually have. So it's funny. One of our great colleagues, who's kind of in an advisory role as a champion, is our dean of the business school, Dave Bratt.
Okay.
And 2014, he had a congressional race that everybody heard about. You can go look this up, but he beat Eric Cantor.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
So he's kind of got a David and Goliath story.
Yeah.
Dave Bratt. So,
yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, we have guys who are, it is a big tent. And so as you're saying, Presbyterian, he's a Presbyterian.
There's a connection. All right.
Well, we are out of time.
Oh, wow.
That was fast. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to keep talking or not. Maybe if you're a club member, we might talk for a few more minutes. And if you join, you can check out the behind-the-scenes stuff. Ryan Helfenbein.
Helfenbein.
Oh, Bein. Man, after all that. I'm sorry, man. Helfenbein, executive director of the brand new Falkirk Center.
Battle of Falkirk.
Oh, man. Liberty.
Faith and Liberty.
Faith and Liberty. Basically, Jesus is Lord over politics, and I'm really grateful to have you on Cross Politic. How does it go? If you're single, get married.
Yeah.
If you're married, have kids.
And baptize them.
And go baptize your babies. This is Cross Politic in Lynchburg, Virginia.